Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, and I am committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. You know, we've had some really great interviews these past few weeks, and on this week's episode, we're raising the bar even higher. We're moving back to kind of a strategy and tactics format for today's call, and I have a really big treat for you, because on the show today, I'm going to be interviewing Sherry Sokolowski, the founder and president of SLS Event Planning. Now, Sherry is an expert at planning and running live events for entrepreneurs and information marketers. Let me tell you a little bit about Sherry. Her event planning career began working with master marketer Bill Glazer, the past president of Glazer Kennedy Insider Circle. And not only did Sherry have the responsibility for organizing the hospitality services, the social events, major national events, site selection, hotel negotiations, traveling and accommodations, she was liaisoning with speakers and VIPs and overseeing all the event staff. She also learned a great deal of marketing tips and strategies and business planning and so much more working alongside Bill. So folks, if you've ever thought about running your own live event, or you already run your own live event and maybe are looking for some tips on how to make them run smoother or more profitably, then you are in for a real treat. Let's get right to my interview with Sherry.
Sherry, welcome to the call. Thank you for being our special guest this month.
Well, thank you for having me, Jim. It's a pleasure to be on the call with you and your guests.
Awesome. Why is it, I want to get right into this, why is it important today for companies to host a meeting or a live event? You know, it's one of the things that most companies do. A lot of my friends have done it. Quite frankly, I have not had a live event yet. I've worked some, but I've not had my own live event. So I'm really excited to learn from you today. So what's important today for companies and to host a meeting or a live event?
Well, that's a great question, Jim, and you actually talked about it a little bit ago when you gave housekeeping notes about how times are tough nowadays in today's economy, and you have to find multiple ways to grow your business. So what better way to retain your current customer base by engaging them on a personal level and at the same time introducing yourself to new members or new prospects that be attending your event? Hosting an event gives you the face-to-face time that you get to have with your customers or potential customers that you wouldn't normally be able to do so. It provides you with opportunities to observe and understand their buying habits, what piques their interest by bringing in other additional speakers or anyone that can teach them things that you might not necessarily be able to teach. So it gives you an opportunity to observe their buying habits and use it to build your business and also to build a stronger interpersonal relationship with them, to network, to grow your membership base. I mean, you name it, there's all kinds of benefits. But those are just the top few that we can talk about today.
Okay, and you know, one of the things that I know Glazer Kennedy does so well at their live events is sell people into higher end programs, and you know, there's no better way to do that than face to face. And you know, I go to a lot of other events as well, and I just see that as a great thing to do, because again, you know, video has given us the opportunity to get beyond the written word, like a blog or even an audio, and you know, people can see and hear your inflections and experience you on video. But there's nothing like being on the stage, and in fact, being on the stage is really a great way to enhance your stature and your reputation as the go-to authority. So
exactly. It helps you become the guru in your industry, and it gives people a chance to get to know who you are. And as you said, it gives you a chance to sell your products and services, add on additional sponsorships and vendors. what you'll see, like what you said with GKIC, they would sell their coaching programs, and those are high-end coaching programs from the stage. And the great benefit of having a live event is having people that are already in your coaching program attend the event and become a live testimonial. There's nothing like having someone there that they can talk to, let alone listen to what they have to say on a video or an audio or anything like that, but to be able to walk up to them personally and ask them how they like your coaching program.
You know, I'm a big fan of writing books. I think it's one of the greatest marketing tools available to help people position themselves as the go-to authority. One of the things that I talk to people that I coach that really want to know about the book and the benefits, and, you know, I say, listen, just having the book pre-positions you as the go-to authority, as an expert. It elevates you above everybody else who was thinking and wanting to write a book, all the people that have a book in them but never do it. And one thing is I usually tell them, Sherry, I says, you actually have to screw it up really bad, because the fact of the matter is a lot of people don't read all the books they buy. And most of the people, I think the stat is they read about the first third of the book and then they don't finish it. So I learned when I wrote my first book, I was very fortunate to get a really good editor, and she took a lot of the – I kind of wrote it kind of chronologically. It was the magic of newsletter marketing. And she said, no, you got to put all the benefits up front, because you really got to give them some good information. So,
right, engage them right away, yes.
Engage them right away, and I'm kind of getting off on a tangent. But one of the things the point I'm trying to make is when a live event, it's a little bit similar. It really has to – stink in a very big way not to get the major benefit of having people in the room with you. So people
very
that
true.
Fear, they when they fear about perfection or, oh, I'm not ready and things like that, I mean, isn't that what holds a lot of people back? They think, you know, I just don't know if I can do that, or heaven forbid be on stage for 3 days or something like that.
You're right. A lot of people are fearful of that because they might not be speakers themselves. You know, they may just be a professional guru in what it is they teach, but they're not comfortable on stage in front of 100 or so people. You know, I'm not very comfortable on stage either, but there are times when you need to get up there. So what they could do is just be the host. You know, you just host the event, and then you bring other people in your field to come up that are expert speakers that can talk, or even people that are in your own coaching program to get up on stage and talk with you. Do panels, do Q&As, be personal with them, or even have small breakout sessions where you can be the person. You know, it'll alleviate that fear that you just mentioned of, I don't want to be up on stage in front of everyone, but I would like to host an event. And then you kind of grow from there, and then you become more comfortable, and then you want to teach from the stage, and then you'll have even more people that want to come see you.
So, Sherry, if I'm thinking of hosting an event, what would be my first logical step?
That's another great question, and that's what a lot of people ask me. And the biggest thing that you've got to think of is who your target market is going to be, what your prospect list is going to be, and who you're going to market to. In other words, do you have a big enough list that can fill the event? It's just like you do with your marketing piece. You know, what is your ratio on your, if you send out a piece, how many people are going to call in on that piece? And that's basically what you want to do with your event. You have to have a list to mail to market to get them to register for your event. And when you put that list together, you got to make sure you have all the pertinent information in order for them to register, and then for you to be able to reach back out to them once they register. You know, just the basics, the name, the mailing address, fax number, emails, because you have to have ways to reach them. You don't necessarily have to have a software system to set it up. You just have to have a database of names, and that could be either yours, or you can build it up with other JVs or other people that want to host an event with you. There are many people out there that will network with each other at another event, and they say, well, let's try to put an event on together. That could be another way you can do it, but you have to start with a list first. And once you take that step, you have to identify what your objective is going to be for the event. Like we talked about a few minutes ago, is it to sell a coaching program that you want to launch, or maybe a new product you want to launch, or is it strictly to teach something that you specialize in to attract more members? You can use an event as a list building, per se, to attract more people into your membership. So it could be a recruiting tool. Once you get those two steps into place, then you can start laying out your marketing timeline. That's the third. It's actually number one, but the other two pieces have to come first before you market. But the timeline is really important because if you want to have an event, let's say next month, you have to think realistically, are you going to be able to do that? You have to figure out how many marketing pieces in your funnel you want. This is things that I have an advantage of knowing by working side by side with Bill Glazer for all those years, because he's an expert marketing guru when it comes to filling events. And you look at the different marketing pieces that you want to implement and how long it's going to take you to come up with those pieces, copywriting, graphic work, getting it finalized, getting it out the door, how long it's going to take you to get people to respond, deadlines, and then how long in between that piece to the next piece, that kind of thing. So generally, a rule of thumb that I can take away from Bill Glazer is you cannot have an event or book an event no earlier than 3 months out in order for it to be successful. Unless, now there could be a rule to this, that unless you have a huge following that's been begging you for an event that you can easily fill with just a matter of a couple of emails or a couple of marketing pieces within, say, 35 to 60 days, then you could definitely fill an event. And now an event doesn't have to be a large event. It could be 100 people to start out. That's a great starting event for people to build from.
You know, Bill, one of the things I've learned from Bill and Dan Kennedy is all about massive action, just get it done, you know, create and launch and things like that. However, this is the one area, and I think you'd agree with me, that it really takes a lot of significant planning and timing, and I think Bill has said on more than one occasion, you know, one of the problems that people have is they, as you said, they'll want to have an event and think they can pull it off in 30 days, and it's really difficult. I mean, let's face it, people have travel schedules, other plans, things like that, and I know, you know, I've also heard Bill say from the stage that the minute, you know, either the Super Conference or Info Summit's over, that they start marketing for next year's, you know, full 12 months. So it doesn't always take 12 months, but it certainly takes more than 30 days, I think.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say 3 months to 3 to 6 months is a good bet, is a good safe bet. I mean, you can definitely get it done in less than 3 months, but it's not without sacrifice. It's like you said, sacrifice with time. You also have to look at the time of year. Some people don't really factor that in. Like, for example, July, August, if you have, knowing your market first as well, going back to that first step, is if you have people that have families that are going to go off on vacation once their kids are out of school, then maybe the summertime between August, you know, July and August isn't a good time for a big event. Or, you know, sometime between Thanksgiving and Christmas is definitely a not a good time for an event. It's a great time for parties, but not events. So you have to look at that kind of time frame as well when you're factoring in when you want to start marketing.
Okay. So let me ask you probably the next question people want to know is what are some of the typical costs associated with hosting an event? I mean, is right now I'm embroiled, but that's probably a painful description. My second daughter's getting married, two daughters inside of a 12-month period.
Oh, but, congratulations.
You know, thanks. I can't wait for the checkbook to finally close. But, you know, so we're thinking, you know, okay, it's so much per head, and that's how you figure out how many people you can invite and things like that. I'm sure it's not that easy with something like this, but, you know, let's talk a little bit about some of the typical costs.
Well, the example you just gave for planning a wedding versus planning an event is a good example, because hotels, quite honestly, look at it as price per head, because that's their profit. But when you go, when you're looking at planning an event as a business owner, you're looking at your ROI, and depending on what kind of event it is. So if you want to make a profit from this, a return on your investment, then you need to factor in all the costs. And you don't necessarily have to, like, here's a secret. The hotels are always looking for somewhere around $75 per head. Now, when people listen to this on the other line and they're calculating, okay, that's, if I want to invite 100 people, that's $7,500 the hotel's looking for. Now, that's not the ideal situation for you. That's what the hotel's looking for, and that's where a good qualified event planner can come in and help you with your ROI. So the typical cost that you need to look for is room rental, food and beverage. Now, another secret tip I like to tell people is that you're already going to have a room anyway. I mean, that's the whole purpose of an event, is to have a room, like a ballroom or a breakout session or so have you. So if you're going to pay for something, then depending on what your event is going to be, then just say, well, I'll do a food and beverage minimum instead of paying for a rental. And then that way you're getting something for your money instead of just the room. Like if you're, you know, doing coffee or anything, but you don't, if you don't plan on feeding them or giving them anything but bread and water, as Bill and Dan Kennedy always used to laugh about, then a small room rental is sufficient. So that way you don't have to worry about spending money on food. Then you have to worry about your hotel room block. So then going back to the type of event, if you're going to have an event that is more than 2 days, then more than likely you're going to want to have a small hotel room block with a good rate so that people can stay there at the venue hotel instead of off-site. It helps keep them there, especially if you're going to have an event that's from morning to night. If it's a one-day event, I wouldn't really worry about it too much for a room block. And you can always negotiate down a minimum room block if you have the right person working with you. The other things that people kind of overlook is not only just the hotel cost, but your staffing costs. You know, if you're going to have travel, if it's not within your own town and it's going to be in another location that you have to travel to, then you have to consider the airfare, the hotel rooms, any other things that are going to be involved with paying your staff to be there, if you pay them hourly or whatever your circumstances are going to be, their food, phone calls, that kind of thing. And then any speakers that you want to have. If it's just going to be one of those types of events where you have speakers sell from stage, then you can always work out some kind of a joint venture with them of a split. But if you want to have some kind of a keynote or a celebrity, it will always cost you. Now, it can be anywhere depending on the level of celebrity. Somewhere, I would say minimum 8. You might be lucky and get it smaller if you know the person, up to as much as $150,000. Now, that's a big variance, but it also depends on who you're looking for. But you also have to factor in, I've had a lot of experience with celebrity and keynote speakers, been working side by side with Bill Glaser all those years, and they factor in airfare costs, transportation, and meals. And sometimes, depending on how the level of celebrity, they will bring what's called a handler with them. So you have to worry about their airfare and meals and hotel room as well. So those are things you have to think about. And then the last thing that people overlook is the marketing cost. When you're doing a budget and you're planning out your budget for the year for the event and you're thinking about doing it for the following year, you definitely have to factor in all your marketing costs. That's your copywriting fees. Like Jim was talking about earlier, you were saying you had to hire more copywriters because your business is growing. Well, you might have to have a special copywriter for your event marketing. Then your production costs, the marketing pieces, postage, you know, all of those kinds of things. And then what are you shipping to the event? Are you going to be shipping a ton of boxes? Are you going to have a lot at registration? Are you going to have a lot of product? Those are things that you need to quite honestly figure out before you start doing the contract negotiations, because if you have requirements for shipping a lot of things or internet for your registration or for your staff, then you want to make sure that your event planner goes in with that knowledge and then can get you the best discounts and the best deals so that you're not paying for a lot of these things up front after the contract signed. Because once that's contract signed, they're very hesitant on giving you discounts on things that you need.
All right, we're going to pause here for a very brief timeout. And as chock full of nuggets as the first part of this interview was, on the other side of this quick message, we're going to share, Sherry's going to share some secrets on how to increase your revenue. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
In the best-selling book, No BS Direct Marketing, legendary marketer Dan Kennedy said this: "My single biggest recommendation is the use of a monthly customer newsletter. Nothing, and I mean nothing, maintains your fence better." Dan is absolutely correct. The truth is, for just about any business owner, the greatest potential for new business and higher profits lies within its current customer base. Stronger customer relationships yield higher sales and more profits, and a monthly newsletter is the best relationship-building tool, bar none. Unfortunately, for many entrepreneurs, the struggle of producing a newsletter every month is too much, and it just doesn't get done. But no longer. Every month, No Hassle Newsletters members get 24 pages of Jim's famous customer-loving content and his amazing ready-to-go newsletter templates. Your company's No Hassle Newsletter will generate more repeat and referral business in less than 1 hour per month. Join the hundreds of entrepreneurs already using No Hassle Newsletters at www.nohasslenewsletters.com. That's www.nohasslenewsletters.com.
And we're back. And let's get right back into our interview with the president of SLS Event Planning, Sherry Sokolowski.
Well, I'll tell you what, everything you just went through, all you wrap all that up in a box, put a bow on it, and that's one big reason to have an event planner, because
yes.
That stuff just, it overwhelms me a little bit. And, you
yeah.
know, I am one who's always in favor of delegating to someone who can do it better than me and just let me do what I do, because all that stuff sounds like it's a skill and a talent, and I can see where experience comes into play. So, what a good reason to hire somebody like yourself. So, you know, everything you just talked about, Sherry, does sound like an expense. And so my guess is that's kind of what probably grinds some entrepreneurs to a halt when they're thinking of doing it. And then they kind of get into this and they're like, oh, crap, there's no way in the world I'm going to do that. So let's say they do make the leap and say, okay, well, I want to do it, so let me get an event planner who will do all that stuff for me. So that's the expense side, but the revenue side, I'm sure working with Bill, you've learned a revenue secret or two about, you know, planning an event. So how it's not just this humongous expense. Can you share maybe one of your revenue secrets with us?
Sure, absolutely. You're right. There's all kinds of secrets out there, but one of the bigger ones that I'm noticing, and it's really become one of those things where you can never stop learning from. As an event planner on my own now, I'm continuing looking for how do I build on this secret, because it's never ending, really. And the number one secret is sponsorships. I'm working with a client right now who is putting on his very first big event, and big event to him is 100 to 150 people. Now, some people may say, well, that's not very big. Well, it really is if you've never had an event before. And the key to helping you build your revenue, not only charging your per ticket and selling your product and everything on site, but the sponsorships and vendors. Now, what I mean by that is I'm sure most of your audience listening to this has been to a live event. And if they haven't, then I'll explain real quickly what it is. When you go to a live event, some people will have what they call vendor booths. And what that is mainly resources that are there for you, the attendee, to walk up to and find out, how can I use this resource to better my business, whether it's a printer, software company, anything along those lines. And sometimes you'll find other things like masterminds or things like that, but a lot of promoters shy away from that because that's a lot of what they offer themselves. So the secret to building the revenue is going to these vendors or sponsors and getting them to pay for some of the things that are out of your pocket. Like, for example, you got to have a registration. I mean, you have to have people that are walking through your event that are there to pay to be there to have a name badge. So there's got to be some sort of expense. It could be minimal, but there will be some. One of the easiest sponsorships there are the lanyards. So you go to a printer or pretty much anyone, really, because you can get a lanyard from any other company, not just them themselves. If they don't supply it, they can go out and get it themselves. And all that requires is of them to be able to put their logo and email, or not email address, but a website on their lanyard, and it's there. It's advertisement for them. You just have them, you can either have them pay it at cost to where they just take care of it and you don't make any money off of it, or you go out and you find out how much it's going to cost, and then you say, well, it's going to cost you $3,000 to sponsor the lanyards, and then you make a little profit from that. It's all about covering your costs, and if you make profit from it, that's the extra bonus, especially when you're starting out. Then you've got beverage breaks, coffee breaks. You can even do receptions, lunch boxes. But when you do meal things, you have to keep in mind when you're planning the agenda that may require them to do some stage time. So they can have, say, a small breakout room where they'll supply a box lunch for up to a certain number of attendees. They take care of the lunch, and it gives them a chance to be on stage. But, I mean, you name it. There's all kinds of sponsorships you can do. You can even get the hotel to sponsor some things. These are things that I'm learning as I grow my business, what all the benefits are to sponsorships that I can then turn and help my client with.
Wow. I love those ideas. Really, really powerful. You know, the lanyards, I'm not sure if you mentioned it, but the bags, you know, that you usually get at registration,
exactly.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
So
registration materials, I mean, anything that you're going to need, you can ask for.
Okay. probably right down to the pens and the cups.
Exactly.
And stuff.
Yep. Every little single thing. Your banners, all kinds of stuff.
So, Sherry, I'm sure there's probably hundreds, I mean, could be thousands. Let's say there's hundreds of kind of logistical challenges that you face, and because I know you walk around with three walkie-talkies and an earpiece, you know. So what are maybe the top three or four challenges or you know, a promoter should be prepared for running the
you're
a
right,
live event?
You're right. There's tons of logistical challenges, but the three top ones that are key, because what I mean by key is, you know, one of those effects where everything rolls downhill. So if these top three aren't taken care of, then there are a lot more that you have to worry about. For example, the first one I would have to say to people is appropriate staffing and assigning the right task to those staff members. And it's key to preparing for your event and making sure that you have the right staff on hand. Now, a lot of people will start out planning their first event with their own internal staff. I'm not saying that that's not a good idea, but what you have to really look at is, that are your internal staff already maxed out on other details and responsibilities they have to attend to in your business as it is now? Not just the event, because you have to face it that when you get closer to the event, their responsibilities will multiply. We used to have a countdown at GKIC with the event staff where it'd be countdown time, and everybody would get into panic mode because you have your day-to-day operations that you're taking care of too and that your internal staff has to take care of. So if they have the event responsibilities, especially if it's the first one, more times than likely they've never done an event before, so it's new to them as well. And you could risk important event details falling through the cracks if you put too much on your staff's responsibilities to do something at the event that they're not planning for. You have to have the right people in place for an event. It's just a recipe for disaster if you don't. The key to a successful event is the right people with the right skills. The other thing that you want to make sure of when it comes to staffing is the logistical nightmare of your AV. I've been at many events before when you don't have the right audiovisual team on staff, it could be a nightmare for you. Your sound could go wrong, your mics could stop working suddenly, or your PowerPoint won't go forward, or, you know, that you're wanting to record it because you plan on selling it and it's not being recorded, all kinds of things. So you have to take into account hiring the right audiovisual crew as well. That's very important. And it's all about giving your attendees the greatest experience they can. That's what it's all about. So you have to put in place the people that can make that happen for you. The other
Go ahead. I was just going to say, referencing the AV, I mean, nothing was more entertaining than when the AV would not work when Dan was on stage.
Exactly. Yeah, because that's why I said, you know, it falls downhill. So if you have an AV company that, you know, doesn't really know how to handle your situation or handle your event, because some AVs are good for small events. Others, if you have multiple speakers on stage, you need a good qualified AV company. And you don't want a speaker who will be on stage and complain about the AV crew, and then it puts a sour mood into the audience, and then they start complaining. It just all starts falling downhill from there.
Exactly. So I interrupted you. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. The other key thing is the site selection and contract negotiation. What I mean logistically about that is, some people may say, okay. You know, they look at someone like Bill Glazer, for example, and I refer back to him because a lot of your people may know him. He had coaching programs where he would have people fly out to him and be close to him so he didn't have to worry about traveling. And a lot of people were taught that if you have a high elite mastermind group that people are paying thousands upon thousands of dollars to attend, you don't want to make it convenient for them. You want to make it convenient for yourself. They're flying in to see you. Now, that may be okay for that type of program, but when it comes to an event, it might not necessarily mean the hotel right down the street from your office is the perfect thing. So you have to look at location. You have to look at what your market is going to be. If most people are going to be traveling in through flights and things like that, you want to make sure you are at a property that is a good resource for them to fly in and out of. You don't want it to be at a place that is hard to get to, for example, like Kansas City is a very hard airport to get in and out of. So that's not your ideal location for an event. Sorry for people who may be listening to this thinking that they can have an event in Kansas. Not saying it won't work. I'm saying that if you have people flying in and that is your majority of your audience, you may lose them that way. The contract negotiation logistic nightmare is when it comes down to looking at a positive ROI and ironing out all the details, all the clauses, concessions, discounts, if you don't know what you're doing, then you could lose money. So, again, going back to that's what a good event planner is for, is to help you with that. And the third is what's called, I look at it as Murphy's Law. I'm sure everyone knows what this is. If anything can go wrong, it probably will. Stuff happens all the time at the last minute. Even if you take all the time in the world to go through your agenda and look through it, plan it, things are going to happen. It just does. So the best way to avoid huge problems at an event is to pre-plan, go through, do an event a risk assessment early on. Doesn't take a lot of time to do it. It just requires the time to do it, because if you don't plan the time and you're at the event and things go wrong, something derails, it could cause your budget to overrun. It could prevent you from delivering the expected results you promised to your attendees. As you said, Jim, you saw me walking around quite a lot with a few different walkie-talkies on, earpieces, all of that. That's because I was plugged into the AV crew. I was plugged into the hotel. I was plugged into the staff. So if something went wrong, I could handle it. I could step away and walk away for a few minutes to handle it, because all of the risk assessment was done prior to. So I knew I could walk away and everything was going to go smooth for that half hour to an hour, because everything was already planned out.
You know, so what a great education you've given us so far. And, you know, it's probably fairly self-apparent why somebody would want to hire an event planner instead of trying to do all of this themselves. But let me just ask the $100,000 question. So why does someone want to hire an event planner instead of maybe assigning their VA or their spouse or somebody like that, or just somebody on their team? Why would somebody want to do that?
Well, just like we discussed over, it can eliminate the work and stress while you're facilitating the success of your event. You mentioned earlier that after I talked about the different costs involved and the steps, how overwhelming it could all sound. So the last thing you want to do is be stressed over all of these things. You know you're excited, you want to do an event, you just came from one and you saw how great it was, and you want to take that leap and do an event. But then you hear about all these things that were behind the scenes that you didn't know existed. By having an event planner, it eliminates all that for you. While you're trying to create an event that's a reflection of who you are as a leader, and you don't want any of the headaches or the missed details, you've got a lot on your plate in preparation for this event, and you're determined to have it a huge success, both in terms of ROI as well as the impression you leave on your attendees, especially if you're trying to list build from these attendees. That's why an event planner is needed. Is it okay if I give my website out?
Absolutely. Please do.
Okay. It's www.slseventplanning.com. And if anyone is interested in doing a 30-minute, no-charge discovery phone call with me to discover what their event planning needs are, they might not know what package is best for them, they can go to my website, and there is a link on there where they can schedule a call. And I'd love to talk with them.
Wow, what an outstanding interview with Sherry. In fact, I would say that's not an interview. That qualifies as a full-blown seminar from one of the best seminar planners in the business. So I hope you enjoyed this very special interview and episode of Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I am your host, Jim Palmer, and I am committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week. And until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and never give up. Now go out there and do something nice for someone. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com.
If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.